U Šrimad Bhagavatam je rečeno da religija ima štiri nogi. Noge. Hvala. Ena noga je resničnost, ali resnicoljubnost. Ja. Druga noga je strogost, ali askeza, ali od nenavezanost. Tretja noga je čistoča. In četrta noga, ali pa prva, kako to boste računali, je milost. Okay. Mislim, da bom govoril angleško, da bi ne bilo preveč smeha, čeprav danes imamo 1. april, ampak to bo preveč. Ne? So, mercy... Mercy is very important. Vallabhacharya in the first canto gives a very funny comment. He says that religion is a bull, is like a bull with four legs, and irreligion, he says, is a donkey. A donkey, and he says the bull's legs are split, the hoofs are split in two. Yeah. So it has two parts. So he says religion means that there are things you do and there are things you don't do. Positive and negative instructions. Right? So therefore, in terms of mercy, in terms of purity and so forth, there is something you do, something you don't do. mercy is a rule that is a principle. It's a principle that every religious person in every religion must follow. Maybe I can ask for a show of hands. Is there somebody who is here for the first time? For the first time in a Hare Krishna lecture program? Anybody who for whom it's a first? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I know. So every religion speaks about mercy. You will not find a religion that does not speak about mercy or kindness. It's very important. May have slightly different names. Buddhists speak about metta, which you can trace metta. We call it metta, which is coming from the Sanskrit word maitri. Maitri means friendliness, being friendly to everybody. In the King James Bible, you have a very beautiful word called word loving kindness, or charity also. It's one of the main virtues in Aristotle's system, charity. So it means actually love. When he speaks charitas, when he speaks about charity, he means love. King James Bible. I always thought that this loving kindness is some kind of New Age word. It's a very, because it sounds very like composite combination, loving kindness. Not just kindness, but loving kindness. I thought it's a New Age word. But turns out it's a very, in this very old Bible. It's there. King James Bible. So sometimes there is a misunderstanding about India, about Indian religious wisdom traditions, which speak about karma, that karma means you don't have to be merciful. That karma, actually, in 1999, you can just Google it. In 1999, a coach of the football soccer team of England, Glenn Hoddle, I just Googled it before the class, so I can't remember the name. I couldn't remember the name. Glenn Hoddle was fired after almost 3 years. So for 3 years he was after a scandal. What was the scandal? In some interview to Times, he said that he believes in karma. And he believes that if we have some trouble, it's a result of some mistakes in previous lives. Which, I mean, it's a simple thing. And it's such a, I think, such a common thing that nowadays it will be difficult to find somebody who does not believe in this. I would say, right, that there is some mistake in maybe not everybody has a clear idea of previous lives, future lives, but karma, it's a very every, like, half political articles speak about karma, even, right, in newspapers. But he was fired. He was fired because it was said that his remark was unkind. That he was unkind to people who with because he said people with two hands and two legs, or something, meaning, like, actually it's there is a quote like this in the Bhagavatam, that if you are in a human body on Earth planet and you have, and this human body is functional, it doesn't even say how many legs you have and and hands, just that it's functional, you can sort of, you know, move around and function. You are very lucky because you can use this body. Human body is the gateway to go to this higher level of understanding, to the spiritual realization, get spiritual knowledge, self-realization. Can practice yoga, can practice different kinds of yoga, and you can understand who we are. You can understand who we are. He said that we are fortunate, and then if somebody has less than two hands and two legs, then he says it's a result of some action in the past. So over that there was a big scandal that he insulted so many people who were handicapped, who have some, maybe something from birth, some problem from birth, or something, you know, during their, in the course of life. So that his remarks were unkind, so there was lack of compassion. However, and even people who do practice yoga or bhakti yoga or Krishna consciousness or some other type of practice which accepts karma and reincarnation, sometimes we think, okay, that's his karma. That's her karma. And sometimes we use it as an excuse not to feel compassionate, not to feel kind, because that's his karma. There was even one school which had a question, if somebody is drowning, should we go save the person? Because it's his karma, you know. if you go save the person, then you share the karma. Of course, it's a very limited understanding, because if you are nearby, it's already your karma. He's drowning next to you is already your karma. It means you are already sharing something in common. And not helping somebody, if you can help, if it's in your, within your power to help, then it's also sinful, or it's also a negative, brings a negative reaction. If you could just, you know, if, for example, you have a big pole, you could just, you know, extend, and you didn't, then it's a very bad reaction if you didn't help somebody for some distress. Moreover, there is even a quote in Jaiva Dharma by Bhaktivinoda Thakur where he speaks, okay, how about people who are demoniac? People who enjoy torturing others. And or people who there are some people who do not so enjoy torturing others very actively, but they try to spread some demoniac doctrines which support such which lead basically ultimately to some torture to others, to some people. So then he speaks about Mayavadis, he speaks about demoniacs. So he says, if we see that they suffer, if, for example, they are nearby, like a neighbor, and they suffer, should we help them? Should we feed them? Should we try to extend some help to them? So he says, yes, definitely. It's your duty to be charitable and be merciful. Even if they are from your community, not from your congregation. They don't bring donation to your church. Still, you go help them. That's the duty of every person. So mercy is very important, and to think that that karma means lack of mercy, lack of empathy, lack of compassion is a misunderstanding of the culture, because it's so much in the culture of in the very culture to help others. It's as I said in the beginning, considered to be one of the four main principles of religion. So if you're just a good person, you are supposed to be kind, you're supposed to be merciful, you're supposed to be charitable, help others. We see even some people who have no belief in God, still they practice charity. It's such a basic principle of good behavior, of normal behavior, considered to be charitable, to be kind to others. I think also that's Aristotle's idea, and that virtues are based on community. So like we say, polite, if you are polite, it's based on the Greek word polis, which means city community. So polite is a person who can live in a city. Means he behaves in such a way that it's okay if he's your neighbor. You can tolerate him. He can be allowed to live in a city. That's, he's polite. Or civil, the same thing. Of course, for translation, that's tough. Vluden, then it means you lahko z ljudmi boš živ z ljudmi. Če nisi vluden, da ne moreš. So that's part of being polite, part of just surviving with others. So even though, yes, we understand that he deserves it, she deserves it, yes, doesn't mean you should not be kind. Yes, like if something happens to ourselves, we know I deserve. Of course, we think I do not deserve it, unless we are very philosophical. but even if we obviously deserve it, we still expect people to be kind. We expect some mercy to ourselves, at least, right? So that's also how we are supposed to treat everybody. That there is supposed to be mercy to others. Of course, they deserve it. Of course, everybody deserves what they have. But the idea of being not even a bhakta devotee, not even a yogi, somebody who tries to go on a path of self-development, but just a human being. Humane, yeah? Also humane means that you are kind. Is that you try to be kind to others, and means even though people deserve whatever they have, we try to help them. The whole very culture, all the rituals are to help people improve their situation. And that's the definition of a sadhu, or a spiritual practitioner. Sadhu, saintly person. Prabhupada always translates a saintly person. And as devotees, we also use a saintly person. But in the West, when we say a saintly person, then it sounds, because we know a saint is somebody who is canonized by Vatican. And we know that if somebody is a saint, then the first condition first is that he has to be dead. Right? I forgot how many years he's supposed to be dead. Then he has to have a halo, you know, shining or something. There has to be three confirmed miracles. And then he's put on the list, waiting list, and then he's confirmed as a saint. So therefore, when we hear a saintly person, like there was a couple of years ago, one devotee from he's originally from Croatia. He became a monk. He took sannyas, and I think he was nearby recently, Ananda Tirtha. Maharaj. Yes. So he was giving some lectures, public lectures in Delhi, and they had a poster. Please come to hear lectures from an American saint. And somebody from America wrote, you know, a comment. Oh, is he a saint already? You know, he's just, you know, like, he's a boy. You know, what's how do you know he's a saint? What's the proof? But for, you know, in India, when you say a sadhu or a saintly person, doesn't mean that you are canonized by an official body and then we put an icon of you on the wall and worship or something. A saintly person is somebody who's doing a spiritual practice. So you all are saintly persons here. You're all practicing, you're all sadhus. So you can start shining now also, that's okay. You're all trying to practice self-improvement. You're all trying to practice some self-development, self-realization, self-actualization. There we go. So that's a sadhu. That's a good person also. Sadhu means good. So, from a sadhu, it's expected that a sadhu will be kind, and who is a sadhu? Who is a brahmana, a priest? Who is a devotee of God or of Krishna? The definition is para dukkha dukkhi, one who is sad to see others sad. Actually, compassion. Compassion. The word compassion means you suffer together. Compassion. We have sochutie, we have sostradanie. In some languages, you have something similar. In German, Mitleid. Mitleid. Sie leiden mit. You suffer together. So compassion means you see others suffering as yours. So para dukkha dukkhi, you are sad to see others sad, and para sukha sukhi, you see somebody happy, you are happy. Yeah? Not that, oh, look at him, he got a new car, and I have an old car, or something. And then, oh, but then something happened, I don't know, he got a flu, see, because 3 days ago he looked crooked at me. That's karma. He's got karma. So and the most popular news is some sensation, somebody's suffering. So normal life, material life, is envy. It's para dukkha sukhi, para sukha dukkhi. We are happy to see others suffer, and we are sad to see others happy. That's normal. Nobody says it. Only a person who works on their heart will admit that we have this. Yes, envy is there. Some envy is there. We are even envious of God. Sometimes people even ask, why is he enjoying so much? He is suffering here, he's enjoying there. What is that? Is he not compassionate to us? How can he have such a good time? That's why we are here in the material world, in the prison of the material world, because we blame even him. We are envious even of God, who is the source of all our blessings, all our good fortune. So a devotee is somebody who wants others to be happy, is happy to see others happy, and cannot tolerate others' unhappiness. Actually, this is one of the qualities of Krishna. In this first canto, it is described daya or doya in Bengal, they will say, is defined in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 16, as Krishna is unable to tolerate others' suffering. That's mercy, that's compassion. So he therefore comes again and again. Yes, he comes again and again. He writes you SMS, you know, again and again, and he asks his devotees, please go, give them a way out. Tell them how to get out of trouble. There is a manual. There is a way how to avoid unnecessary trouble. So this verse on the board also describes bhakti. So it's an answer to Parikshit Maharaja's question in Canto 6, Srimad Bhagavatam. He heard about the hellish planets. So there are heavenly planets, there are even higher, there are planets of sages. There is spiritual world outside of this universe, where we actually belong. And there are lower planets, and there are also hellish planets below. And they were described in the fifth canto. And some people don't believe in hellish planets, but it's not a question of belief. It's just a question of looking at our life. And, we have enough hell here also, you know. You don't even have to believe or not believe. Everybody experiences a little hell now and then. Yeah? At least, again, the most sold drug is antidepressant, right? So people can be depressed. So Earth has a mixture. So then Parikshit, who is about to die, his question is, how can they be helped? How can they avoid hellish suffering? That's the question. How to avoid hellish suffering? Again, he's not asking about his avoiding suffering. He's asking for everybody, how to help everybody to avoid hellish suffering. And then there's humorous test. First, Shukadev tells him, okay, you do the ritual of purification. And Parikshit says, but come on, as soon as you make a ritual, then we go and again do the same stupid thing. And we again suffer. So there, as we know, I think in the morning it was mentioned that the most crime is repeat crime. Yeah? So people just repeat the same thing, they become career criminals. Once they become criminals, it's a big task to get them out of get them off this path. So he says, no, ritual punishment or purification doesn't seem to be working. So then Shukadev Goswami says, yes, you must get knowledge. You must get knowledge, and you must become a different person. You must revive your bhakti, love of God. In America, they had a program where they spent at least $5 billion on having school children meet criminals. So they would get a criminal from a prison, and he would meet the school children and tell, boys, don't be like me. Boys, if you go to prison, you will suffer. Boys, or girls... Probably, I don't know how they matched boys, girls. Anyway, so children, kids, don't be like me. And they managed to already have spent $5 billion on it, and they found out that actually it produces the opposite effect. actually, people, the kids who went through this program, they are more likely to become criminals. And what they found that actually works is actually you can see they do a lot in Germany and maybe in some other places in Europe, but in Germany it's a very big program. They have school children go and help elderly people in an old age home or to do some help, some volunteer help. To others. That actually helps people who are part of this program. It really works. It really helps them not to consider crime, becoming a criminal. So, but you know, then the psychologist started thinking, why did that program backfire? You know, it sounded scary. You know, this guy with rotten teeth and tattooed face, broken arms, you know, kids, don't do that. And then they do exactly that. Right? So why didn't that work? So then they thought because of identification, because they thought, oh, why did they put me in that program? Why did they invite this criminal to talk to me? Maybe I am like this. Maybe I am in danger. Maybe I am in danger of being a criminal. Maybe I am a criminal. What is a crime? Maybe I should try. Maybe. In other words, negative doesn't work, really, most of the time. So, whereas people who go help others, they just start thinking, I'm a good person. If I'm helping, they call it Benjamin Franklin effect. He turned one enemy into a friend like this, asking for a favor, lending one rare book. So they call it Benjamin Franklin effect. So if they go help others, they think, why do I go help old people? Why do I go do some volunteer work? Maybe I'm a good person. Okay. So then somebody says, hey, let's go do crime. Well, good people don't do crime, so I think I'm a good person. So because I helped that old man 3 years ago, so no, I don't think it's my thing. So that worked better. So we... change not just the behavior, we change not through scaring, we change through, we go to the depth of our self, our conception, who I am. So this is why bhakti is considered most powerful to remove suffering, because we do not just change actions, not even change behaviors, we try to change the concept of who I am. And who I am? We are all eternal, saintly, pure souls. Effulgent, full of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Jivera sarup hoya krishnera nityadas. What is the sarup? What is the true form of living of everybody? It's an eternal servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of the Absolute Truth. We are little parts. So as the hand, if it's sick, then it doesn't serve the body. But if it's healthy, then it takes... it takes, you know, for example, something, and then it helps the whole body. And then it goes in, then it goes there, and then it goes there also. So we benefit too. Part means, and again, loving service. And then, you know, the hand does loving service to me, and I do loving service to my hand. I try to protect it, dress it, you know, it's not cold. So we are all servants of God. We are all parts of loving servants of God. So that's who we are. So this is why bhakti is considered the best process to remove suffering. And how to become a bhakta. How to... what determines who can advance, progress quickly on this path, and who doesn't? Is it a lottery? That, you know, God sits there and then ping. No. And ping. Okay. So then he chooses somebody, accidentally. Well, Einstein says God doesn't play dice, right? So we know that, he's merciful already. He's already merciful to everybody. That's a big, important secret. If you know that God is your friend, you know everything. That's in Srimad Bhagavatam. Savai priyatamash chatma yato nabhayam anvapi iti veda savai vidvan yavidvan sagurur hari. 4:29:51. Narada Muni says, if you know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the soul's, means yours, priyatama, the best friend. The best friend. the best, most loving friend. And there is nothing to fear from him. He's not there with a telescope trying to catch you doing something.
Ha-ha, got you!
Okay, punishment, okay, with punishment. And then throw a book at you. Ha! Something. Gotcha! No, it's not. That's not God. That's our very strange idea of God. He's kind. He's very kind already. He wants so Narada Muni says, if you understand that there is no danger from him and that he's the best friend, iti veda savai vidvan, you are a learned person. If you know that God is your friend, best friend, you know everything. You're learned. Moreover, if you know this, you're a guru. You can go and teach the whole world. Finish. Your education is finished. You're the top professor. You're the professor. You can go and teach everybody because you know the most important thing, which is a big secret. We doubt. Even we read that, you know, Krishna says, "I'm your friend." You think, "Huh? I'm not sure. Maybe he's trying to trick me. Maybe he just needs workers in his farm there in Goloka Vrindavan. He has a big dairy farm there, many cows. He needs more hands to milk the cows." So I don't know. No, he doesn't. I mean, he doesn't need slaves. He doesn't need. He does have a farm, but they just have fun there. So, how does mercy spread? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, he's ready to give mercy to everybody, but you decide. So the person decides whether to take mercy, and where the mercy goes is mercy of Krishna's devotees. So you are all channels of God's mercy. You're going around and trying to give his mercy. It's not even your mercy. Don't worry. Oh, I'm not merciful. Oh, I don't have love of God. I'm not pure. Oh, how can I? No, it's not your mercy. It's his mercy. Right? You're just trying to, you're passing on the invitation. Hey, there is a party in Krishna's farm. So there's a lot of fun there. Flowers and pizzas and everything else. So you can dance, you can have a picnic, you can, there's a whole, big variety of activities in the spiritual world. And different rasas, different relationships with God, with Krishna, Absolute Truth, in which you can engage. So therefore, you are, so when Durvasa Muni threatened Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish Maharaj was a king, but he was a saintly king. He was always engaged, even though he had a big... everybody is amazed. There is a video on YouTube about President Drnovšek. And it describes how he... I think he even ironed his own clothes, right? He baked his own bread. He was a vegetarian, and he was, and then it was. It's so interesting. They ask him, how do you get time to, to meditate, to be such a person? Don't you have meetings to go to? And he says, yes, we have meetings, but it's ultimately your decision. Also, you can of course, you can fill the whole day with meetings and all kinds of things like that, but it's your decision. You can say, okay, this much I do, this much is for spiritual life. So all around the world, whomever I show this video about your Drnovšek, they say, wow, this is such a person. He's a president of the country. That's amazing. Possible. So Ambarish was a king, but he was engaging... He was fully engaged in bhakti, in devotional service. He was doing everything as service to God. And then one yogi came, Durvasa Muni, and then there's a whole lila, how he got angry, and then he wanted to kill the king. So then Sudarshan Chakra, the mystical wheel, mystical discus weapon of the Lord, started chasing Durvasa, protected Ambarish, and started chasing Durvasa. And then Durvasa went to different planets, was running away to different planets. And he went to Brahma, he went to Shiva, and they all said, well, I'm sorry, that's too tough luck, you know, it's, what can we do? You know, it's Vishnu's chakra, so, you know, sorry. So then he goes to Vishnu. And what does Vishnu tell him? He says, well, Durvasa, what can I do? Tough luck. He says, yes, that's my weapon, but you came here for my mercy, but my mercy is not here. It's like, you know, they come to, maybe book distributors know this, you know, oh, I left my wallet somewhere else. So you came for mercy, but I keep my mercy with my devotees. So if you want my mercy, you came to the wrong address. You have to go back to the king and ask for his mercy. My mercy is with him. So he said, sorry. And then, that's the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam. So then Durvasa goes all the way back to Ambarish, and Ambarish was waiting the whole time, not eating, waiting. And then when Durvasa came and apologized, he said, oh, Sudarshan Chakra, you are the personification of time. If I have any good luck, any punya, any good fortune I earned, anything good I ever did, take it all and put it on the account of Durvasa and don't kill him. Spare his life. So he showed mercy. I mean, did Durvasa deserve a little punishment or something? And did Ambarish, he tried to kill Durvasa. Durvasa tried to kill Ambarish. And Ambarish said, all my credits give to him, but don't kill him. So he showed mercy. So, and, you know, when I read it, I thought, my God, you know, all punya, all good fortune, you know, why not like half, you know, at least half I would leave for myself, you know, who knows, for emergency, you know, you never know. You have to keep a little for tomorrow. For it. No, he said everything, because just in case it's not enough, you know. So that's a devotee. So he has mercy. So where you give mercy. So that's why Krishna says in the Gita at the end that it's one of very sweet moments. After he describes the whole secret, more secret, most secret knowledge about different levels of yoga, the whole science of yoga, then he says, but don't tell this to such and such and such and such people. He gives four categories to whom this should not be told. Idamte natapaskaya, those who are not detached, those who are envious, those who are not devotees, those who don't want to serve against service. But then he says, 68, Yaidam paramam guhyam mad bhaktesabhidasyati bhaktim mayim param kritvamam evaishyatya sanshaya. Nachadasman manushya shukashin me prekritama bhavita nachametasmat anya priyadarubhuvi. Who, gdor razudeva to naivecho skrivnost bhaktam, who reveals this biggest secret to devotees? Bo zagotovo dosegel chisto dano služenje in se na koncu vrnil k meni. Definitely he will attain the topmost pure level of bhakti yoga, and definitely he will come to me. And u tem svetu ni služabnika ki bi mi bil draži od njega in nikoli mi ne bo nihče bolj drag. In this world there is nobody who is more dear to me than such a devotee, such a servant, and never there will be anybody more dear than him. So here is your ticket to the spiritual world. Spread the mercy and be kind. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We have 30 seconds for questions.
Knows So the learned person is the one who knows.
Maybe talk straight into.
Knows that that God is merciful.
Is the best friend.
In the best friend. How do we get to this knowledge?
You already got it. You know. Thing is, accepting it. Accepting that even though I have trouble with my knee, and, you know, because we think, oh, why do I have trouble with my knee? He's probably not my friend. Krishna could have prevented this, right? He could have prevented, right? He didn't. So, okay, he's friend to him and to her. To me, I don't know. I don't know. But maybe he doesn't like something. Maybe my nose. He doesn't like my nose. So it's accepting this. And so we discussed this in today's class in Bhakti Shastri. That one way is, so devotee is expert in accepting responsibility. That we even see, even those who do not know about reincarnation, they will find, okay, what lesson could there be in this for me? Is there something I need to learn? Okay, like my knee, that's definitely pride, because I was sitting right there for too long, in lotus position. It was giving pain, and I thought, no, I should just tolerate without consulting a teacher who knows how to do Padmasana. I just tolerated for too long, and that's not proper. Turns out you should not meditate for 40 minutes or 1 hour, unless you can do this without pulling with you, unless you can do this without hands. So in other words, I was, I had pride. So if we are a little introspective, we can see, there is some lesson in it for me, some responsibility I have in it. And he reduced the lesson to the minimum. I can still walk. I can even run a little bit. in most ways. And I can walk for like 12,000, like 10 kilometers, I can still walk. More than it starts giving pain. So he then could have been worse, much worse. So in other words, we try to see what lesson is there and thank God. This way, accepting that he is friendly, accepting that, yes, I actually can use some lessons. That's not easy. That's why it's tough for our pride to say, deserved? Who, me? This? No. Look, I have this color. I have this shika. Why not? No, couldn't you spare me? He did. He did spare. Minimum. He just gave minimum. It's not so much. Not like I could even sit for the whole hour and no pain. No problem. So thanking and accepting. And then catching when we blame him, when we criticize him. Or when we are afraid of him. And instead seeing everything as his mercy. So Brahmaji says, Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam hridvag vapur birvidadan namaste jivetayo mukti pare sadayvak. If you can see everything as a result of my own activity plus mercy, then you already have a place at his, in the spiritual world. Your ticket is confirmed to the spiritual world. So being grateful, that's a way to accept deeper and deeper. Okay, so we can discuss, if somebody has more questions, we can discuss separately. And we have a kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.